Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
You're listening to the Tom Rowland Podcast, part of the Waypoint Outdoor Collective.
Here's the deal. There are millions and trillions of children in the world, and if we take them all camping, there won't be anywhere left to camp. So what we need to do is decide which ones to leave behind, right? So I would say most of the smart ones, you know, because the world needs engineers and somebody that, you know, sort of keep the computers and the lights on. And so the smart kids just, you know, leave them at home with some computer programming books and let them do their thing, because they're not going to enjoy it anyway. So there needs to be indoorsy people in the world. And so let's not ignore that. I'm Hank Patterson, and this is Tom Rowland's, I don't know how he pronounces it. It might be Rowland. Tom Rowland. It's R-O-W-L-A-N-D. Kevin, how would you say that?
I'd say Rowland.
Rowland. How would you say that, Alex?
Rowland.
Hi, I'm Hank Patterson, and this is Tom Rowland's podcast. And today, I'm the guest. That sounded lame. And today, I'm the guest. No. And today,
I would be like, today it's all about me.
Doesn't matter. And today is all about me.
Today's episode is all about
me. I'll say it. I'll do a three. He can cut it together however he wants. And today, I'm the guest. And today, I'm the special guest. And today, Tom really lucked out, and he's got me as a guest. There. That's enough of that crap.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show today. This one's going to be a fun one. Occasionally, there's somebody that busts onto the fishing scene doing something different, catching lots of big fish or winning a whole bunch of tournaments, or in this case, doing something that's kind of funny. And I saw his work and really enjoyed it. I thought it was very clever, humorous, and really entertaining. If you don't know who today's guest is, I encourage you to go to YouTube and search Hank Patterson Fishing Guide and watch a few of his videos. And you'll know just exactly where we're going with this interview. It's designed to be fun. It's designed to be entertaining. And I certainly had a good time with it. Hank Patterson, Fishing Guide, up next. Hank.
Hey.
What's going on, man?
That was a hell of a beginning, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm known for great intros.
Yeah, no, that was fantastic. And a lot of times people will say stuff about, you know, how great I am, or, you know, just sort of, Hank, it's great to have you on the show. But just saying my name, just like a statement, that was fantastic. That was good.
Yeah, right, well, to the point. Know, I got to say, I'm a little bit starstruck. I don't really, you know, I get to interview a lot of people. I get to go fishing with a lot of different people. I mean, I've had movie stars and politicians and stuff, but honestly, I rarely get as nervous as I am about this particular interview.
Well, I would hope that I'm better than a politician, and at least as good as a movie star.
Okay. Well, you are kind of a movie star.
Well, I never I never thought of it this way, but maybe I'm somewhere between.
Okay.
Like, you know, like somewhere between a politician, which is like, you know, like the last person on earth you want to talk to, and a movie star, which is also the last person on earth you want to talk to. So somewhere between the two groups of people that you don't want to have anything to do with is me, somebody you probably shouldn't have anything to do with.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
Big moment.
Well,
big moment.
I'm gonna try to kind of just to ease my do some breathing exercises or something to kind of ease my starstruck nervousness. But let's get to it, man. So, Hank Patterson, fishing guide. How did you get into how did this whole life start for you? I mean, I saw where you were a competitive hacky sack player before you started guiding. Just wondering how somebody makes that transition. It's kind of interesting.
Lack of education. I had nothing better to do. I was qualified for absolutely nothing in this world. And so I thought, well, hell, what am I going to do? And then I picked up a fly rod, taught myself how to cast it in about a half an hour. And I thought, oh, well, I should probably start teaching other people. You just self-proclaim yourself as an expert and people believe you, you know, I mean, because people hiring a guide, you know, 90% of them have no clue. So if I have like the slightest clue, I can start charging them for taking them out. So it was a low bar. I mean, everything that I do in my life is based on how low is the bar, right? And I thought, oh man, well, you know, and I went out with some guides and I thought, well, these guys aren't, you know, the sandwich they're giving me, the, you know, cheap beer they're giving me. I thought, my God, this is what a life. You know, the bar is so low that I thought I should probably get involved in it. And so I, you know, I just sort of made some business cards. I wrote my name and phone number on a bar napkin, started handing that out. And the next thing you know, people started paying me to take them fishing. And all you got to do is give them a cheap sandwich and yell at them. And it's just that easy.
Do you like yelling at them? Do people like that usually?
Well, I don't care. They've already paid. It's a prepay situation. So it's just whether they like it or not isn't, you know, really in question. But I like to think it's part of the experience, you know. I mean, because if you're really nice to them and everything, they go back to their friends and they say, hey, did you go out fishing with a guide? And they say, yeah, it was really nice. You know, caught some fish. It was really nice. But they have a much better story if it's like, yeah, the guy ended up punching me in the face. He threw me over the boat. He kept screaming at me, told me I did everything wrong. And the guy wouldn't tie my flies on. He didn't bring a sandwich, wouldn't share his beer. That's a story. But if I do all those other things and I'm, you know, super polite, then they don't really take a story home with them. And so I feel like I'm adding.
You just like everybody else, I guess.
Yeah, I don't want to be, you know, just one of the crowd. You know, you want to give them an experience they're going to remember. I mean, and human nature is to remember the negative things. And so I try to provide as many of those as possible.
Okay. And how's that going for you so far?
Hold on. I got to write that down because I'm going to use that line. Human nature. Okay. That was a good line right there. And so I try to, whenever I say anything like that I think is smart, I try to write it down. And so, as you can imagine, I get to write things down every couple of months.
I would imagine that your hand is tired and you're carrying around a giant journal.
It is tough. Not easy. Not easy.
Yeah. So how does a guy that gets started in the fishing business make his way into videos and actually feature length films from what it looks like to me?
Yeah. We got a couple of those, you know. I always tell people to watch them in chunks, you know. It's like, oh man, this you made an hour and a half long movie. I'm like, yeah, and it's good 10 minutes at a time. Or with beer. You know, when people are watching my movies, I always tell them, it's like there's two types of people in the room. People that are going to really, really enjoy this video and sober people. So there's that. Again, it goes back to the low bar. You know, somebody was like, oh man, there's not a lot of funny fly fishing videos out there. And I thought, oh, well, if there's not very many of them, then again, the bar is low. And so I'll make one.
This is a perfect place for me. Perfect.
Yeah, this is perfect. This is perfect. You know, it doesn't have to be that funny. You know, and so I just started making the videos, and the fact that they keep going, some people would suggest maybe I should stop, but I'm enjoying it and I enjoy making people laugh and having a good time and getting out on the water. So, you know, I just started making these videos. We only meant to make one, but it went really well. So I said, oh man, people were sending me free waders and stuff. So I said, oh, we should make another one because I need a fly rod. And so we kept making them. And then, you know, some people, you know, started helping out. Orvis and Trout Unlimited and Montana Fly Company and all kinds of, you know, different folks started to get involved and say, you know, we like what you're doing. And so, you know, we'll sponsor And when I say sponsor, don't start thinking that's a lot of money. It ain't. If you want to make less money than a fly fishing guide, make fly fishing videos. but they at least help me keep it going. And I get treated very well by a lot of people and all the people that I meet. I was in Durango, Colorado this last weekend doing a show. I think a couple hundred people showed up, and it's good. Feels good. Super fun to meet like-minded people and give them a couple hours of laughter. And so that's why I keep doing it.
Yeah. Well, it's going pretty well. I was thinking, right at first when you first started, I was kind of thinking, do fly fishermen really have a good sense of humor? Like, did you find that maybe some fly fishermen don't have a good sense of humor? Maybe, because, they say if you're not laughing at yourself, you're missing all the best material. But, I hadn't found that's necessarily the case with some of the people that I've had the pleasure of spending the day with.
Yeah, not everybody likes me. And some people find me quite annoying and obnoxious, and they don't like it, and they get sort of vocal about that from time to time. And I'm thinking of making a video where I teach them how to hit the stop button or pause. Now and then you'll get a comment on something you're doing, and it'll be like, oh man, I watched three of these videos and they're all terrible. And I thought, well, hell man, stop at one. You didn't have to watch three of them. The fact is, people always are asking me questions about that. They're like, oh man, do some people, they must be jerks if they don't like what you're doing. And I'm like, some people find me obnoxious and annoying. I am obnoxious and annoying. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. Not everybody has my sense of humor, and not everybody, is going to enjoy what I do. I have absolutely no problem with that. I think that, you can't please everybody, and you shouldn't try. And the fact is, there's no reason everybody should like what I'm doing. But since we bring it up, I would say to people that don't like what I'm doing, just turn it off and walk away. You are under no obligation to listen to my podcast. You're under no obligation to watch my videos. Just turn it off and go, watch something that you do enjoy. Because there is a chance that even outside of my videos and the other stuff that I do, we might get along just fine. But if you're the type of person that decides they need to take it upon themselves to let me know that I'm ruining the entire sport of fly fishing and that I'm awful and that anybody that thinks I'm funny is an awful person as well, then I think maybe you're probably taking yourself a little too seriously. We don't all prescribe to your sense of humor either.
Right. That's for sure. And I would imagine that some people that might think like that, I'm not sure what they think their guides are doing after the trip, but it's mostly making fun of the clients. I hate to pop the bubble
for a lot
of people, but that's one of the things that I think that you've done the best is take the guide humor that guides have among themselves.
Yeah.
And bring it to the masses, probably unintentionally, it seems.
Well, I've been told that I get to say things that other guides wish they could say. What I do is I try to look at situations that I find myself in and just sort of comment on how funny it is. I mean, and it's not always making fun of a client. I mean, it's poking fun at myself. It's poking fun at guiding. It's poking fun at people that believe they're experts that actually aren't experts. It's poking fun at the serious nature of everything. I mean, in the end, we're out, trying to catch something with, a brain the size of a small pea. And people get very serious about it. There's just so much stuff that happens when you're fly fishing that I find super funny. And just when you step back from it, you go, how ridiculous are we all? And I'm one of them. I'm making fun of myself. I'm not making fun of an individual. It's just funny what we do. I was on a trip to Alaska. This is a good example of what I'm talking about. And we're floating the Aralik River. We got 47 miles of river all to ourselves. We're the only boat on that entire river, because we're the last ones down for the year before winter. And if one guy starts catching fish, and there are silver salmon everywhere. I mean, if you can't catch a fish there, you should never fish again, because we're, I mean, it's 100 fish days. It's ridiculous how many fish, and they're everywhere. The minute you hook one, you got a guy on your right and a guy on your left shoulder. And we have 47 miles of river stuffed with tens of thousands of silver salmon, rainbows, grayling, everywhere. You can't swing a stick and not catch a fish. And it was so funny to me that no matter what you did, if you caught a fish, everybody would like start crowding in to one spot. And you'd be like, dude, give me some room. Or then you'd catch a fish and they'd hold it up and they'd be like, oh man, look at this one. And they would get super excited. Every single fish we caught, oh my God, look at this one. Oh my God, look at this one. They were all basically the same size. It was all, they're all the same fish. I mean, we caught like, I mean, the variance between fish was 3 inches, you know, a quarter of a pound. And yet you'd get excited every single time. And then you would hold that fish up like, oh my God, can you believe I caught a 26-inch, 5-pound? Yeah, I can. Because the last 30 were that size and the next 30 are going to be that size. There's just so many funny things that we all do and we all keep getting excited. But the beauty of fly fishing, and I'm sorry, I talk a lot. The beauty of fly fishing is how excited we continue to be about the fish that we're catching. And the fish that we're catching are probably a lot like another fish we already caught. But the excitement somehow doesn't wear off. I mean, it doesn't for me. I absolutely love it. And depending on the river, the water that I'm on, I love it. I love, you know, catching fish, whether they're big fish or I don't love catching small fish as much, but it depends on the river I'm on.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just rambled.
Where are you calling home?
I live in Boise, Idaho.
Technically, oh, yeah. Well, there's a lot of good fishing there.
I live in a suburb called Meridian, Idaho. But if I say Meridian, Idaho, unless you're from here, you don't know what I'm talking about. So I'm Boise.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I got a friend that lives in Boise, and she used to hang out with us over in Jackson. That's where I started guiding. And that whole area, I mean, it's so awesome. I love now, that whole area.
Who'd you guide for over there?
I guided for a guy named Joe Bressler, and it was called Bressler Outfitters, and the Orvis store was in Jackson, Wyoming. The first year that it opened, I got a job working for Joe, and so we worked out of there and fished the South Fork of the Snake River mostly. That was our main river. That was in a time when it was really, really good. I mean, every fish you caught was a 17-inch cutthroat, like you're talking about on that river up there. You would take we didn't take a zillion pictures because that was back in the day of disposable cameras. So you had 36. You could take 36 pictures. If you really splurged at the drugstore before you went, you could take 36. A cheapo could take 12. And the guy that went middle of the road, he was a 24-picture guy. But you would go home and you would have 24 pictures of the friend that didn't fish would be like, why did you take 24 pictures of the same fish? Oh, no. Those are all different ones. And you don't see that. But that river was great there. We used to do a lot of overnight trips, which is one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
And then the Teton and the Green. And we had a permit for Henry's Lake, which we almost never used. But then Yellowstone National Park, too. That was really, really a great time for me to work in Yellowstone National Park as well. And my son and my niece and my nephew, they've all gone there and worked. It's a great, great area.
It's a beautiful area. It's, I mean, Eastern Idaho, and you start getting over there is definitely, in my opinion, the best fishing in the state. There's beautiful places all over Idaho. You go up north and there's tons of phenomenal fishing. And so, you know, anybody that is an outfitter in Northern Idaho, settle down. I also like going up there. But Eastern Idaho, you know, the South Fork and the Snake, and it is phenomenal fishing. It continues to be phenomenal fishing. It is a pressured river at this point. People know that it's a phenomenal fishery, and they don't get shy about showing up.
Yeah.
That being said, you know, it's you know, there's a lot of great guides over there and people over there that have good etiquette, and you know, we all realize there are more and more people on the river, and that's just sort of the nature of more and more human beings in the area and in the world and in the sport.
Well, I guess one thing that changed is, you know, when I first started guiding, there weren't the availability of boats. Like, I started guiding out of a John boat. The John boat, we had a 10 horsepower motor on the back. We rode it backwards down the river, you know, with engine first going down, so you could actually slow it down. And I mean, that was a perfectly fine boat. That's what I started guiding out of. Then there was like a Koffler, which Koffler still makes boats, but it was kind of the predecessor to the South Fork skiff. It was a low slung Koffler design, which was both anglers would sit down, the guide would be in the back. And then there was kind of the McKenzie River drift boat. But if you weren't a guide, there were maybe a few people that had a boat like that. Now,
yeah,
there's a lot more people and there's a lot more crafts. I mean, you got rafts, you got cataracts, you've got every imaginable inflatable kind of thing that would get you down the river by yourself with people. I don't know. That's got to have changed things a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Though there's, yeah. I mean, I've talked to, you know, people that have actually paddle boarded that river. I don't think they were fishing it, but I talked to one person that paddle boarded it. There's only, you know, one rapid, I think, to be terribly concerned about, that I can think of. There are a lot of back eddies that I think you got to be concerned about on that river for sure. But yeah, it's a great river. That entire area, though, to me is, you know, the Henry's Fork and the South Fork, the Snake, the Yellowstone. You know, Henry's Lake seems to be hit and miss. I haven't fished it much over the last 10 years. But
no, there's some big ones in there.
There's some big fish. I grew up, you know, fishing up in that area with my Uncle Ray. He used to take me up there. And so that's an area that I grew up fishing, and we certainly have old black and white pictures. Now I'm 28 years old, so but we have some old black and white pictures. Why we were shooting black and white at that point, I don't know. But of some pretty nice fish coming out of Henry's. So yeah, that's cool. I had no idea that you guided up there.
Yeah, that's where I got started. And I guess Bressler Outfitters then turned into what is now Worldcast.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They're in Driggs now, I guess. My friend Fletcher White bought Bressler, and then that turned into Worldcast. I'm not sure exactly all the twists and turns it's taken since then, but I spend, you know, most of my time away from the Rockies, even though my son goes to Montana State, and I think my other son's going to transfer out to Montana State, so that will certainly get me closer to the area.
Yeah,
with both the boys out there.
That, yeah, it should get you closer to the area, and yeah, the Worldcast is a fantastic people, and we've shot some video in their shop and with one of their guides, a guy named Pete Erickson, and has taken us down a couple of times. If you know Pete,
yeah, we started guiding people together.
Oh, yeah, did you? Pete? Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So he's a good guy. He's an English teacher.
Yeah,
did you? I don't know if you knew that. But people ask me.
Well, he wasn't then. What do people ask you about an English teacher?
Well, they ask me all the time about. I use Pete as an example. They say how much money can a fly fishing guide make? And I said, well, one of the best guides that I know, Pete, who also is part of that team USA fly fishing, and you know, a pretty accomplished fly fisher, is an English teacher at the middle school in Boise. So that tells you how much money is in the game. You know, he has to. he decided. Well, you know, I'm not making quite enough money guiding, so I'll get into teaching in Idaho, which is top dollar.
Yeah,
top dollar. I mean,
he's really breaking it in as a teacher. And
here's a political statement: the only people making less than teachers in the state of Idaho are nobody. So my political statement is: could we please start paying our teachers in this state a lot more money? Because if we don't, then more and more people like me are gonna, you know, get high school diplomas, and I certainly don't deserve one.
that's funny. Well, probably, you know, fishing guide can be a pretty good paying job, except it just doesn't last all year out there.
Right. You know, yep. Absolutely. Yeah. And again, I decided that what I should do is make fly fishing videos, which again is pennies on the dollar.
Right.
In comparison to guiding.
But that fills in the spare time. And I noticed you launched a new project recently. Want to know how that's going for you? The podcast. Because that's what we're doing right now. Podcast.
I'm interested in it. It was one of those things where it's called, here's my plug, is Hank Patterson's Outdoor Misadventures. We talk about, you know, fish, you know, fly fishing and camping and other outdoor stuff, I'm sure is going to come up and you're not going to learn anything at all on this podcast. It's simply something that I think hopefully is an enjoyable, funny conversation to listen to on your way up to go fish or on your way to go camping or something like that. And but I promise you, you won't learn anything. Maybe my ridiculous opinions, and then you'll learn that my opinion will change with any given episode, you know. But I've really enjoyed it. I did a few podcasts with some other people, had me on their podcasts, and I enjoyed it. And I'm a person that talks a lot. And I said, well, we might as well try it. We'll throw our hat in the ring and record some shows, see how it goes. If people listen to it, then we'll probably keep it going. And if they don't, then we'll pretend like we always meant for it to be like a one season thing.
Well, I like the one thing that I've liked about it so far, and I've only listened to maybe 1.5 episodes. But I loved, you know, your sound engineer and her patience with you eating the corn nuts right next to the microphone. That seems like something maybe I should try.
Well, our first 2-star review was somebody complaining about the fact that I eat during the podcast. And so you may not want to try that. That was our first one. Our second one was just somebody who hates me. It was just like I read it a few days ago, which I shouldn't do. I tell myself, it's like, don't ever go read reviews because, you know, it's just you can't believe them. But so maybe you shouldn't start eating corn nuts on yours because that guy didn't like it. Although I still got 2 stars out of him. It wasn't a 1-star review, so you know,
it's a pretty good choice. I mean, I kind of started thinking if I were to eat something.
Yeah,
that might make the editor upset because that's sometimes half the fun. Like if you really don't think anybody's listening, then you might as well annoy the editor. And that's her. Corn nuts. Yeah. And corn nuts would seem to be, that would say, I really don't know if there's a better choice. It seems like you might've thought about that.
Well,
long and hard.
The guy that didn't like it, again, it's sort of like, of course he didn't like it. I mean, there is absolutely nothing wrong with not liking some guy chomping away while you're trying to listen to him talk. So I do not blame this guy whatsoever for the 2 stars because it's probably pretty annoying to listen to me eat. That being said, we'll probably continue to eat on the podcast just because I get hungry and I got to keep the energy up to keep going. But what was funny, and I kind of feel bad about this, is the very next podcast had already been recorded. Now, we're not going to change anything. If I feel like eating, I'm going to eat. But the very next one, if he were to tune back in, I eat an entire apple and a bag of pretty crunchy rice cakes.
Wow.
And I eat it throughout a good chunk of it. I thought, oh, man, if this guy tunes in again, he's going to think now it's even worse. It's twice as much eating on that episode. And so if he gave me another shot, I'm sure it was my last one.
Well, the good thing about the iTunes reviews is they only allow you to leave one. So,
yeah.
You know.
Thank goodness. Yeah, he can't come back and decide that he hates me twice.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I like the camping aspect and also the Yellowstone. I got a soft spot in my heart for Yellowstone. I spent a lot of time there. And you got some interesting perspectives on spending time in the backcountry there. And yeah. So is that coming from personal experience that you've spent a lot of time before you started guiding and taking people back into Yellowstone or is this kind of on the job training that you've learned all
this
that you know?
This is simply me taking up the banner where I feel like someone has dropped the ball, meaning the whole Yellowstone thing and deciding to talk about how to survive Yellowstone National Park came from a trip through Yellowstone National Park that I was on with a buddy of mine, Jason. And we drive into the park. Nobody says anything about bears. Nobody says anything about not petting the bison. Nobody says you can't tickle the nuts of a bull elk. Nobody gives you any information. They give you like a trifold, take your money, send you on your way. And then you drive in there and there's like 40 tourists trying to put a child on the back of a wild animal for a selfie. And so I thought, my buddy Jason says, God, these people are so stupid. And I said, no, they're trained to do exactly what they're doing. Because these people didn't grow up in Yellowstone National Park. These people didn't grow up in the wild. I mean, most of these people probably have never experienced anything like what they're experiencing right now. They think that the bison are kept in cages and that they're trained animals at a petting zoo. Because that's what it looks like, because everybody else is trying to pet them. And grizzly bears, the only experience they have with bears is Yogi Bear and Boo Boo. And they think, oh, well, they're fun. And so people get themselves in bad situations. So I took it upon myself to say, hey, what you actually should do is stay the blank away from all the wild animals. And if you can just take that away from the video, I've probably saved a 250,000 lives at this point.
Yeah,
that would be my guess.
I would imagine so. Seriously though, when we were working in the park, I worked at Lake Hotel, and you would have, you know, similar to your videos, all the employees would get together in the evenings and go to the you know, the watering hole or someone's room to talk about all the stupid questions that the tourists ask you all day. Some of which were, when do deer become elk? Another was multiple times people were asked at breakfast, you know, the servers would be asked, what time do they normally let the animals out? And is there a good place, you know, to get them before they're going back to the cages to where we can see them all? And legit questions. People would ask me sometimes, they're like, those bison, what do they eat? Like squirrels and stuff? And, you know, you just look at these people, you're like, wow, you really haven't spent a lot of time outside. I mean, I'm really happy that you chose to spend your vacation in one of the greatest wilderness areas that is on the face of the earth. But, you know, maybe a little reading beforehand.
Maybe a little research. Or maybe, you know, maybe your first vacation should be like to the local park. You have to figure out how a swing set works before you decide that you need to come and try to ride a bison.
That does happen. I mean, it does.
I do think that when you drive into the park, you know, and they may disagree, I still think that there is a like 12-second statement that could possibly be made that would inform these people of enough to keep them a little safer. You know, if you see a wild, stay in your car, stay the F away from wild animals. They're not kept in cages. They're wild. It's not a petting zoo. Just something short like that, I think, would help a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But it is
maybe,
amazing.
There are no nets below the overlook. You know, if you fall, you will hit very hard.
If you're going to look in Old Faithful to see where they turn it on and off, there are specific times where you shouldn't do that.
Yeah, that would be a good one. I mean, maybe as you get started on this, maybe it turns into a little slightly longer than the 15 second. You know, upon thinking about it, maybe there's a few other things that we should
put
into
like,
this.
I went on a helicopter tour in Hawaii last year. It's super fun, but they make you sit down before getting on the helicopter and listen and to a little spiel that they give, some safety tips, and you watch a little video. It takes about 10 or 15 minutes. The only thing you have to do on a helicopter tour is look out the window. That's every, you don't have to do anything else. That's it. and they make you take a 15-minute class on, I guess, how not to open a door and jump. I can't remember. But if they have to do that, maybe everybody coming in to Yellowstone should have to sit through, you know, an online course. Oh my God, I'm going to put this together. All right, you and me, buddy. I'll cut you in on the deal because it came up during your podcast. But we will certify people eligible for national parks by going through the Hank Patterson's I Know How to Survive Yellowstone class online, and then they'll get a certificate and a t-shirt. Oh my God.
I think I'm finally going to make money.
I'm finally going to make money. My Pez dispenser for flies thing never took off. And so this right here, this is my deal. Good job.
Do you think that you could kind of expand this out to maybe include some other national parks that you're not as familiar with, you know, desert areas, Everglades, crocodiles?
Yeah, don't pet the Everglades, crocodile. Don't.
The Everglades has a lot of strange species. There are a tremendous number of these invasive species that have gotten in there, and people have let them go. Pythons. Yeah.
There was a story on Yahoo this morning about them catching the largest python ever in Florida this past weekend. I'd have to go look. You can look it up later. Everybody Google it. Everybody listening to the show, Google this. But yeah, they just caught like the largest python ever. Now, before I forget, not to change subject, but we're coming to Florida in June down by an island somewhere down by, not in the Keys. It's I think north of the Keys. It's on the Gulf side. We're going to come down there and shoot some video So what I'm saying is we need a guy. We need a boat. Are you in? I mean, what's your schedule? Early June, you know, like
early June.
The 6th through the 10th is sort of our window that we're going to be down there. And so if you're anywhere near there, I'm not even joking.
Are you going to be in Boca Grande?
Is that the one?
Boca Grande?
It was something
Sarasota
island.
Area?
It might be near Sanibel or somewhere. Yeah, I'm not sure it's there, but it's somewhere near there. When we get off the phone, or off the recording, I'll email you the information. This is great stuff for the audience to be listening to. You and me making plans
is
probably super exciting. But yeah, I didn't want to forget to tell you that we're coming down to that area.
So, what kind of videos are you going to be doing? This is kind of interesting because one of the big challenges for a saltwater fly fishing guide is kind of dealing with the expectations and casting skills of a trout fisherman that may or may not have ever seen, known that there was backing on the reel.
It's a rare experience for me to have to deal with backing because we don't get there much. You're absolutely right. My expectations are right where they belong. Very low. Very low expectations. I don't go anywhere expecting to catch anything at all. And nor do my videos require a caught fish. So I'm a guide's nightmare because I'm going to probably end up teaching them how to do it better. And I'm going to question absolutely everything that they tell me. If they're telling me to cast at 2 o'clock, I'm at 3 o'clock. If they're telling me to cast at 40 feet, I'm like, just row the boat, move it over there, like 10 feet from the fish. I shouldn't have to cast 40 feet. Everybody always talks about saltwater and how you have to, you know, you're double haul and you have to cast really far. I'm like, are these guides just too lazy to get me where I need to be? That's all I'm thinking. And so I'm going to put somebody to the test on this trip, and
good,
and for $0, it could be you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll take that into consideration, and I'll also think about some of my friends that live in that area that might be interested, or
in maybe not wanting to pull their hair out.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but there's an opportunity for some publicity though.
There absolutely is
through your through your platform.
Yeah, we're going to be down there. We're going to shoot a video for the F3T film tour. And then we're going to also, I think, shoot a little side video with the Bonefish Tarpon Trust. Because you can't, you shouldn't, in my opinion, if you're somebody making these sorts of videos, go to an area that you've never been, fish, use the resource, and not take a moment out of your schedule to make sure to hook up with a local conservation group and see if there's anything that you can do that might bring awareness to the issues that are being faced there. So we're going to do that as well. Should be fun.
Yeah, maybe you should check in with Captains for Clean Water. There have been a lot of great strides made this year also on the water issues in Florida.
Yeah, their name has come up several times, and so hopefully we'll meet up with them as well.
Yeah, they're a bunch of good dudes.
And anybody willing to put up with me, we'll talk to them.
Yeah.
And anybody that wants to put on a barbecue where I don't get charged for eating there is my kind of person.
Well, outside of the podcast, your new saltwater adventures, what's the future hold for Hank Patterson?
I'm making it up as I go.
Would you consider yourself to be like a goal setter?
A what?
A goal setter.
Oh, a goal setter.
Yeah.
No, not at all. I do not set goals. That does not do anything at all for me to have a goal. I'm one of those people, a buddy of mine, I like to run and a little bit, and I do a lot of that on a treadmill, but, and I don't know why, but I just do. It's something that I'll keep up with, and it's because I have no goals. I'm not trying to run a marathon. I'm not trying to run a half marathon. I just want to get some exercise. And so the minute, if I ever set a goal, you know, to run a marathon would be the day that I stop doing it altogether, because I'm not a forward thinking person like that. So no, not a goal setter. I'm just literally making it up as I go. I would imagine eventually me, my videos, everything that I do will somehow wear out its welcome and I'll have to go do something else. But for now, as long as people enjoy the occasional video and they enjoy listening to the podcast, I figure we'll keep going. I enjoy making them, and I'm having a super good time with it. And so, you know, I mean, not everybody, you know, enjoys them, like I said, but I do, and a lot of people do. And so I keep going, but I don't know. I don't even know what I'm doing next. Yeah.
Of course. I would definitely keep going with it. I think that, I think a lot of people like it. What about the camp?
Oh, Camp Hagadagada. Yeah, that was a one season deal.
Is that still going to be a?
Oh no,
just a one season.
Yeah, no. Yeah, we called it season one. Never any intention of doing season two. That being said, I sometimes think I should consider it. You know, and so maybe a few years down the road, I should consider doing a season two, because if you want to have like the best time ever as an adult, go to summer camp. Go back to summer camp. That was the absolute best time, because we would just, you know, we'd shoot videos and you know, basically, you know, have a beer and eat food and sit around a campfire and have sing-alongs and roast marshmallows. And we'd do everything that you do, you know, at a regular summer camp, except for the fact that we're not kids and, you can't find a more enjoyable thing to do. So, I don't know, maybe I'll do a season two, but right now it's not in the books. I got to kiss a girl in it. And so, you know, that the entire thing was written, you know, and produced and filmed, and the money that went into everything was just, it was all just so I could, you know, trick a girl into giving me a kiss. It was fantastic.
Well, I'm sure the season two would probably be well received.
Season two, the breakup.
Yeah. Now, what about in today? So many people are interested in helping the sport to continue. One of the things that is going on that I see a lot, and something that we pay a lot of attention to, are getting kids involved in fishing, fly fishing. Do you have any kind of strategies
Oh boy.
Maybe.
Yeah.
About,
you know,
getting kids involved or teaching them how to fly fish.
Sure. My next podcast that comes out this week is all about taking kids and how awful it is and how you need to leave them at home. You know, because it's a lot more pleasurable if they're not around bothering you, grabbing your hat, you know, asking for food, that sort of thing. But that being said, yeah, you're absolutely right. We have to teach the kids to, you know, love to fly fish and get them out there, because if the future generations don't love the outdoors, then they'll destroy the outdoors. So we have to teach a certain number of them to love fly fishing or whatever kind of fishing, bass fishing, bait fishing. I'm not really that stuck up about it. I just prefer fly fishing personally, and camping and hiking and all those sorts of things. But here's the deal. There are millions and trillions of children in the world. And if we take them all camping, there won't be anywhere left to camp. So what we need to do is decide which ones to leave behind. Right. And so, so I would say most of the smart ones, you know, because the world needs engineers and somebody that, you know, sort of keep the computers and the lights on. And so the smart kids just, you know, leave them at home with some computer programming books and let them do their thing, because they're not going to enjoy it anyway. So there needs to be indoorsy people in the world. And so let's not ignore that. But the first thing I would do if somebody asked me, what do I do to, you know, get my kid into fly fishing? I would say, hire a guide. It makes somebody else teach him. There's no faster way to ruin your relationship with your daughter than try to teach her how to fly fish. Because it's like teaching her how to drive or teaching your son how to drive. I mean, just how frustrating an experience that is. Let somebody else who is a trained professional go through all of that with them. And when they come out the other side, they know how to cast, they know how to tie their own fly on, they know all that stuff. Then you can all of a sudden start planning trips where you're going to enjoy it together. Hire a professional so you don't kill your children.
Well, that's some pretty good advice.
Yeah.
Really
smart.
Really good advice that. Yeah, I can tell. Well, what if you're the...
Don't hire me.
What if you're the...
I ain't taking
your
kid out.
How do you find the...
No, different guide. Don't hire me to do it. I'm not going to do it. I don't want...
How would you suggest that somebody find the right guide?
Oh.
Like a telephone interview? Like if someone were to call you up and ask you,
yeah,
is that a good idea? Or
yeah, that's probably smart. You probably want to vet the guide. You know, I mean, ask around about guide services, ask around about the particular guides. If you're going to call, you know, a guide service, you know, like WorldCast or something like that, you might say, you know, let them know what you got planned. Hey, who's the guide that is got the, you know, sensibilities or the patience, to deal with the fact that I'm bringing my kid and she's never cast a fly rod in her entire life? Which guide is that? They'll know. The guys in the shop will know, you know, either that or they're playing a terrible joke on both sides of this equation. It's like, you know, they're thinking, oh, you know who would be good is Joe. Joe would be really good. And then they think to themselves, oh, this will be funny. Send them with Rick. You know, Rick hates children. You know, Rick has definitely slept for 2 hours last night and he's probably still a little hungover, zero patience, you know, that sort of thing. But yeah, vet the guide, make the phone calls, you know, and make sure they're not trying to play a trick on you.
Yeah. It kind of goes the same with fishing with your wife or girlfriend,
right?
Or,
yep,
you know, significant other.
Mm-hmm.
That's often a really good way to spark.
Yeah.
Interesting conversation.
Yeah.
Is to try to teach them how to do something that you like to do.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. It's you. Hey, nobody wants to date an expert or a know-it-all. And so don't be that. Hire somebody else to do that. And if it is for a significant other, let's just say you decide, oh man, I should get my girlfriend into fly fishing. You know, again, vet, right? So you're going to want an ugly guy. You don't want some super good looking, you know, sort of fly fisher leading like, you know, some beatnik life that looks super romanticized taking your girlfriend fishing. You're going to find sort of a homely dude, and they're easy to find just walking into any shop. Right. So you know, again, think ahead of who that guide is that you're hiring, but definitely hire a guide.
Yeah, these days with the websites and everything, their pictures, mm-hmm, Instagram, mm-hmm, it's probably a good place. You could vet them a little bit,
yeah,
to see if,
yeah, it's like, oh man,
should,
this guy,
should
is...
you ask your girlfriend, like, what do you think about this guy? Is he cute?
Oh, or yeah, just maybe in passing. Yeah. Or, just sort of, yeah, look at this guy. Yeah. Just you don't have to ask. Just like, yeah, we're going to hire one of these guides and then maybe this guy. And then she'll just have a look on her face. That'll tell you the whole story, you know, or if she's really like, quick, like maybe this guy, if she's like, oh yeah, that guy, if it's really quick, that ain't your guy. You know,
the one that looks like Brad Pitt.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No. That, which again, so you shouldn't hire me, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure that you're getting.
Oh, I put out a vibe. I put out a
confused
vibe. Obviously, you know, it's well, always out there. Yeah. Hey, guess who just walked in? Alex. Alex, I'm on another podcast. Do you want to say anything at all? You want to just come in and say hi? Come in. So, Alex, for people listening to this podcast, don't maybe know about my podcast, but my sound engineer is named Alex. Alex, say hi.
Hi.
All right, beat it. Go on.
Hi, Alex.
Go on
now.
Yeah.
Go
edit. So, oh, she's going to go edit a podcast. She's wearing a Star Wars shirt today. Typical cool engineer. Nerd.
Now, how did you find your engineer, Alex?
You know, she was on a video shoot, a project for somebody else that I was on, and I was like, man, she's a hard worker. And she was just graduating from college, something that I thought, oh man, I never did that. We should probably have a college graduate around. And so then I hired her. I talked her into taking much less money than she's worth. And that was probably the thing that sealed the deal.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, how about this much money? And she's like, okay. And I thought, really? No kidding. You went to college? Okay. Yeah. It's fantastic.
So when you have, like, I don't really have a sound engineer. I'm not even sure what they do. I do have an editor for this podcast, mm-hmm, and they mostly clean up,
yeah,
you know, anything that goes wrong. So as far as creative control over your podcast, your projects,
yeah,
is that something that you maintain total control over, or do you kind of leave it in the hands of experts occasionally?
No.
I mean, not that you're not.
Yeah, no. I have complete control to a degree. So the final file that goes out is something that I've, you know, made final decisions on. But no, Alex adds a lot of creativity and she edits the podcast. And so she does all that. And then I'll listen through it and there's things I'll cut out or little things that I'll add. But no, she's doing more than just pushing the red button. Not much more during the podcast. I just want to make sure she's not here, you know. But the editing, she's the editor. And we give her a little bit of rope, but you know, then I come in and then if I cut anything or if I change anything, I always make sure to say things like, I shouldn't have had to do this, Alex. You should have known to do this. And I do a lot of that. Just, you know, yeah, that's the sort of management style I have. I'd be an absolute nightmare to work
seems
for.
Seems to be working for you. I mean, you've surrounded yourself with a good team. You're putting out a interesting product.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah.
You know, you have a lot of reviews, a lot of people, like you said, you got a couple of 2-star reviews, but most people seem to be really liking what you're putting out. I think it's funny.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was hoping that this podcast would go well and the conversation would go well. I think that it has. You've been, seemed to be remarkably well behaved. Did you get enough sleep last night?
I've been in Colorado the last few days at my mom's house, like 7,500 feet. So I'm just starting to get oxygen back to my brain. You know, it was some flights and layovers yesterday. So I'm probably well behaved based on how tired I currently am. But I promise if you want to have me back on the show, I'll show up drunk and angry.
Okay.
Yeah.
That I'm sure that everybody will be looking forward to that.
Yeah.
The drunken angry, is that how you show up? What's the state that you normally like to show up for a guided trip? Like for the first time client.
Oh,
do you have like a mindset that you're trying to get yourself into?
All I'm thinking is I'm just there to try to, I'm thinking ahead as to when I'm going to take my first nap. Right. I try not to get too much sleep the night before a guided trip because I have to take the edge off. The way I can take the edge off is to be way too exhausted to be too mean to the client. And so I try to show up with only about 2 or 3 hours of sleep. And then once I get like a fly on the end of their line and I set them up somewhere, I like to set up my chair and try to doze off a little bit. That's my whole thing. You know, if I can get in a couple of naps, then I'm going to be in a good mood and we're all going to have a much better time. And here's the thing. I'm not a river butler. I'm not there to do everything for you. You know, there's no reason for me. If I can tell you, here's the fly to use. There's the place to fish. That's really all I should have to do, because the next time you come out fly fishing, I'm not going to be there. And so the more self-sustainable I can make you, the better we both are. So I should have time for at least 1 to 3 naps.
That's an interesting perspective. Yeah. I can't really say that I've heard anybody say that publicly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but that's
before. But I like how you just own it.
Yeah.
And you're just straight up with it.
Yep.
Maybe that could turn into some kind of a motto, like some kind of a mission statement.
Yeah. Yeah.
For your guide service.
Yeah.
That you could put on your business cards or the napkin.
Yeah. Right now they say, if the bar ain't high, I'm your guy. But we can work on it.
Okay. All right, man. Well, listen, I wish you all the best of luck. I'm going to be, watching, listening to your podcast, and I'll think about who I can get you, hooked up with in around the Sarasota area.
That would be awesome. And
maybe they can.
Yeah. Let me know. We're coming down. And, appreciate you having me on your show and I apologize in advance for whatever, 2-star ratings you're about to get.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I'll try not to take it personally if that.
Oh, happens, no. Blame me for sure. Blame me absolutely 100%. I don't mind. I will shoulder the 2 stars. Now, if it's a 1-star review, that means that you took it down even further. I'm a 2-star, but us together, that might be a 1-star, and then you got to shoulder 50% of a 1-star.
It could be. So, you know, for this podcast, we have a lot of Florida people that listen to this. We got a lot of people that fish for all different kinds of stuff: bait fishing, fly fishing, spin fishing, conventional. So maybe not everybody has heard of you, because they might not, go trout fishing so much, and they may not know where to find all of your resources. How would someone kind of catch up on all the stuff that you've been doing? Where can they find you?
The best way is to hankpatterson.com, and that sort of links you out to everything. The videos are all there, and I would start at the beginning and watch some of the videos. Watch the Yellowstone video is a good one to, sort of get to know who I am. And that's a good place to go. And then you can find me on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram. Just Hank Patterson Fly Fishing will get you there. But hankpatterson.com is a good place to go. And then the podcast, if you're looking that up, is Hank Patterson's Outdoor Misadventures. Subscribe and give me 5 stars.
Is that part of the title?
Yeah, it should be part of the title, but we're like any other podcast. We're in a constant state of begging people to give us, reviews and stuff like that. So I don't know why. It's not like I'm getting any money for getting a review. So I'm not 100% sure why I care. And then after this last one, I can't remember the guy's name, but he hated me so much. I thought, I'm going to stop reading them. So I probably won't read them anymore. I'll make Alex read them, and then she can just tell me the good ones. And then she can, okay. Then I don't have to, be reminded that there are people in the world that don't know how to, just turn a video or podcast off and just go about their business.
That could be a good video or podcast.
Nah, that'd be a good one.
You could probably go on.
Let me give you instructions on how to never listen to it again. If they're, I always tell people, it's like, did you like my other video? Not really. Well, then you're not going to like all of, the canon of work. You can stop right now, and it's not personal. You know, we all like different things. We all have different senses of humor, and that's absolutely fine. But the only thing worse than a bad sense of humor is waking up and realizing, oh no, I'm a troll. You know, don't be a troll. I mean, you know, it's like as bad, you know, you can hate anything in the world, but there's nothing worse that, I mean, the worst movie ever made isn't as bad as the person who has to take their time to tell everybody how much they hated that movie. So, you know, so just that's how I go about my life.
Well, I came across a lot of your stuff, and the one thing that hooked me immediately, and I became a fan for life, and I can't remember which movie or video this came out of, but when your buddy, you send him over to get the bear spray, and he sprays it all over himself.
Because he uses it like mosquito spray.
Yeah, I laughed so hard. I thought that was so funny. And I was watching it. I actually watched it yesterday again because doing a little research for this conversation. And it was just as funny the 3,000th time that I've seen it as it was the first. That was
awesome. Moment is part of the Camp Hagadagada web series that we have on Amazon and on Vimeo as well. But you can watch it on Amazon Prime. It's free if you have Amazon. And it's called Hank Patterson's Camp Hagadagada. And it's part of that series. But you can also just find that scene on HankPatterson.com in the videos. And it's a fantastic moment. That's my cousin Wally that ain't too smart. And he makes me look smart, if that tells you anything about him.
I'll tell you what, man. That was that was really funny. And we've been doing this podcast, you know, just talking with you about all of your stuff, but in all seriousness, the humor that you have and the way that you're putting it out there, it's extremely hilarious to those of us who have made a living being a fishing guide, because like you're saying earlier, these are all the things that a fishing guide might want to say but thinks better of it. And it's just hilarious. And the things like spraying themselves with bear spray, mm-hmm.
which happens.
That is, I can think of maybe a dozen times that's moments away, and you're, no, not like that.
just have it with you.
But the way that you did that, and the way that you had it in the background, kind of unintentional, it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Thank you.
Anyway, man, listen, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast, and we'll do it again. I'd love to talk to you after you have your Florida experience and see how that goes.
Let's do it
for you.
Absolutely.
So stay in touch, man. I really enjoyed it. And for anybody that doesn't know Hank Patterson, check it out. Maybe you could even run into him in an Idaho bar somewhere and encourage him to take you fishing.
Absolutely.
One day.
Come on up.
All right. Hey, listen, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it.
Good luck with everything.
I'm Will Cooper, host of HuntStand's Make Your Mark podcast. For even more content, be sure to watch the original films from HuntStand Presents on the Waypoint TV channel every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit waypointtv.com to learn more.
When you go out there and the fish are where you think they are, any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know right here at Hawks Cay.
Oh, that's awesome.
Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.